Sci-Fi. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and two guests today. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF. Both writers from the new comic book. Is it called a comic book or a graphic novel? What do you have a preference?
Comic book. Works.
Comic book. It's a comic monthly.
The book is called Orcs in Space. It's a monthly, apparently. It's Abed Gaith and Michael Tanner. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
What's up?
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
We've talked to Abed at length. Everybody knows Abed. Let's get to know Michael a little bit. So you're a writer? Is that you? Do you only work in comic books, or how does that work?
I only work in comic books, and it's a side hustle. Like most people in comics, I have a boring day job. But yeah, so I'm a comic book writer. I got brought on to help Abed and his brother and Justin kind of develop Orcs in Space because I had comic book experience. And the rest is available at your local comic book store monthly.
Awesome.
And I'm a writer, too. And somebody just showed me the format to write a comic book. And it's weird. You have to actually describe what's on each panel. I always thought you would just write a script and then the artist would just kind of like be the directors. And that's not the case.
There's no real format for comics. It's whatever works for the team. Like you can kind of go with a default format, which is describing every panel. But like if you're working with an artist who you know really well, and there's some like big name writers who just like will just vomit paragraphs onto a page and be like, artist, figure it out. Alan Moore. Like I didn't want to name names, but Alan Moore basically will just write
Frank Miller
prose for scripts, and artists will be like, I guess I'm interpreting this. But yeah, there's no real set format. It's
as an artist, wouldn't you rather do that than fucking be instructed what to do?
Yeah, and truth be told, most artists will just do it however they want.
Well, no, like Michael said, unless you're like you have like a really good relationship with the writer and know what the way his style is, it's best to do it the other way so that you don't fuck it up.
Yeah, so you don't have to redo it.
Yeah. Because it's the most clear, concise, like, this is what I want, and this is what it should look like.
Okay, if you guys want to micromanage your artist, if you don't have any faith in your artist, go ahead.
Well, I do, actually. We got very lucky with this book.
Our artist, Francois Vignol, with his fancy French-Canadian name.
He's like...
He really, like... We write a script, and we, like, in this panel, do this. But he will, and we are very comfortable with him, like... And being like, I'm going to do it like this instead. I know you wanted it like this, but I'm going to do it like this. So unless it's something that's really like specific and you're like, no, for the gag we're going for or for the reference
we're making,
it really needs to look like this.
Is it like kind of a comedy? Tell us what Orcs in Space is. I'm imagining there's some orcs and they're in space.
That's pretty much it. it's very... Sorry, go ahead, Michael.
I was going to say, I got a lot of practice because I just came back from a convention. It was my first convention where I was like selling it at a table. I described it as three idiot fantasy orcs steal the most advanced spaceship in the galaxy and go out on adventures.
Now, explain to me what an orc is, because I thought orc not proprietary? Is orc like saying fairy or something like that?
What did we discover? Like, I want to say Tolkien invented the orc. Like, he came up with the term.
It's in Lord of the Rings universe.
Wasn't it like a goblin mixed with a elf?
Yeah, it's a made up word. But it's one of those because Tolkien was a language geek. It probably has some old English because there's the Uruks in there's the orcs and then there's the Uruks in Lord of the Rings. So it probably has some some ancient origin. And it's just originally like a monster race. It's very problematic. Going back through fantasy.
Like if you put an orc on crack and then send him out in the world after hobbits, that's Uruk-hai. But they were like just the hyper versions. But they started with Tolkien. And then over time, I think people just like, they became more commonplace in fantasy, but my brother gets the credit because he always loves orc. Like he's the orc sort of expert with all of us.
That's funny. Hey, stupid side question. It's just on my mind. Did you ever see that the Voyager episode where there were these really stupid creatures that like
what season?
I don't remember, but they would like kidnap people and then like try to get exchange technology. So they had this really great ship, but like they didn't know how to use any of it.
I didn't watch it, but I watch a lot of like YouTuber Star Trek YouTube, Steve Shires and stuff like that. So I'm aware of that episode. I've never seen it, but yeah, like the.
Oh, it's cool. I'm just like, oh, that's cool. I mean, like, I love the idea.
I should know that because I love Voyager. I don't think Mike's a fan.
Oh, I think it's terrible.
Yeah, I think Voyager's actually almost like the best.
It's hard to watch, but they've got great stories.
There's like episodes that are amazing. And then there's ones that
Voyager, where the Quantum Leap guy leaped into Star Trek. And then
No, that one isn't as good.
Wouldn't it be the best ending if he like popped out of it?
I guess I've saved the planet.
that would be amazing if Enterprise is just a spinoff.
And then it starts with the first one where it wasn't the first one. He was like a slow guy.
No.
Oh yeah.
It's not the first one, but it is like the touchstone because it's one of the few.
That it's the baseball player. Baseball player is the one.
Jackie Robinson.
I don't know, but yeah. So that Enterprise was a prequel to Quantum Leap.
I didn't like
Enterprise. That's how they got the technology.
Enterprise was like really kind of everybody was trying to come back with Star Trek at that point, and I was sort of like over it. I was like,
is Voyager the new? Is that the new one on?
No, Voyager is old.
No, Discovery is the new one, which I don't like at all, and. A lot of people like it, but
I don't like Discovery either. I think
it's bad. It's like not even Star Trek. It's like
that's how I feel.
They just
none of them can compare to the only Star Trek I've ever seen, where they save whales, and I was in third grade.
That was probably the first Star Trek thing I liked as a kid. I think was the whale movie.
Yeah, I can't remember if I saw. I know I definitely saw like Search for Spock on TV. Without having seen Wrath of Khan. So as a kid, I didn't really understand anything that was happening. But I do remember seeing Star Trek IV in the theater.
Is that the whale one?
Yeah, Star Trek IV is the whale one.
That's the whale one.
It's directed by Leonard Nimoy, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, because they would trade off. So Leonard Nimoy got that one. Shatner got 5, then Discovered Country.
5 is great, although it's horrible. It's a fun ride.
Great, but horrible.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it's like the most... They sing campfire songs in the beginning, and that's kind of my favorite scene.
Well, let's switch from sci-fi to conspiracy theories and paranormal stuff. Michael, are you into conspiracy theories or anything like that?
I do have an interest in conspiracy theories and that sort of thing, yes.
Do you have like a favorite one? Do you have one that you actually kind of follow or anything?
I have fallen into the, the missing 411 thing. Do you guys know that?
Really?
Oh, missing. Okay. So missing 411. That's
the state parks, right?
State parks. Yeah. A outsized number of people go missing in state parks and that state parks are potentially actually covers for supernatural hubs.
Right.
I love that one because it's so ridiculous.
Does that one have they updated that one? There's a story that I don't know much about. I think it's in Colorado where the woman disappeared and her fiance is now under arrest after.
Yeah, they found her body a couple days ago.
Oh, they did.
I think. Yeah, they did. They found a body. And then they said, yes, it's her. Her boyfriend.
So she can't be a part of this conspiracy theory then.
No, but there is a weird one in California. That's just the boring old right now. Where this family is a mom, dad, toddler, and their dog were out on a hike and they didn't come home. And so the police went out, they were just, everyone knew, like they had told people like, oh, we're going hiking on this kind of very basic hiking trail. And so the cops kind of went out and they found all four of them, dad, mom, toddler, and the dog just dead. No like trauma, not like they were shot or murdered or anything. They were just dead.
Like, they have like weird trail. Looks on their faces though.
Nope. Like they're just like they don't know. Like they literally have no idea what caused it. So they're doing toxicology reports and like autopsies, and they're just like, we don't know. So they've closed down.
Wait, so did they all four die at like the exact same moment?
Because they're all together. Like their bodies were all found together.
But there's no visible like
the dog could have died later. trying to eat their bodies. Kinda...
The dog looked around and had nothing better to do.
They think there's like a pot. They thought it might be like a poisonous algae bloom in the water, like nearby.
The algae. The algae. Yeah,
that's scary.
Yeah, it's like it's real nuts. They've closed down the whole like area because they're like, we don't know. We're still waiting for
more. What part of California is that?
This might not be it, but I want to say it's Mira Loma. So kind of like northern central California. Okay. But that's a real weird one that
that's
I'm
like
into
above
right now.
Where I grew up, like yeah. right above.
Okay, yeah, well, we've done this a million times with Abed, so we'll just do it with you today, Michael. It's called the WOW Scale. It stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz, and it's just to sort of take a barometer on where you stand on a lot of these things that we talk about. But if you're more of a 0, you're more towards the weighed side of the spectrum, and if you're more of a 5, you're more towards a Willie. Are you ready to be weighed on the WOW Scale?
Absolutely.
WOW Scale.
Are you a weighed or are you a Willie?
Okay, first question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, no, no.
Okay. No elaboration needed. I already know you're going to say that the universe is so big that aliens must exist.
They
question number 2. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Really?
But having said no, I also had a very weird supernatural experience that I have no explanation for, but it was not enough where I'd be like, well, it must be ghosts. It was just like, okay, that's a weird thing that happened to me.
Well, now you have to tell the story.
All right. When I was in high school, my family was having a lot of out of town visitors all at once, and the house was going to be full. And my parents were like, hey, you know, I know it's a weeknight, but could you find a friend's house to stay at? Like, okay, I'll ask. And we're like, oh, but only my girlfriend's parents said it's okay if I stay there. And my parents are like, but they said it was okay. So I was staying at my girlfriend's house on a weeknight, and I fully expected to like, stay in the guest room. But I was not in the guest room, and it was very late at night, and she lived in a very old house that was very creaky. Like literally you could hear anyone walking in this house at any moment. We're in her bedroom. We're getting undressed for sleep. And the house is dead quiet, like dead, dead quiet. And then I hear like her dog walking, and we hear her dog walking, and he walks down the stairs to like the main level of the house. House is silent again, dead silent. Literally, like I remember I was taking off my shirt, and I'm like looking at the door to her room. And suddenly there is like, as if someone punched that door as hard as they could, there's this boom. And I swear the door buckled, like so much like just someone just hit it as hard as they could. Door buckled. Dead silence. Like if it had been her dad, like hitting the door saying like, don't fuck my daughter tonight, I would have heard him walking away. I would have heard something.
Yeah.
But no, dead silence.
Ooh. Did you
poltergeist
open the door?
Punching a door? No. Like,
did she say anything about it?
She maintained all, she was one of those girls who was like into spooky stuff. So she's like, yeah, my house is haunted.
Did she have any stories?
So that is my, she had tons of stories about like ghosts in that house.
So wait, where
how come
you
don't believe? Because it seems to me that would,
because on an intellectual level, I'm like, there aren't ghosts. That doesn't make sense. I am an atheist. The universe is not magical and full of mystery. Like, we are made of crude matter, and when we die, we turn to dust, and that's it. So despite me having experienced one supernatural thing, that doesn't make me a believer in ghosts. A weird thing happened. Weird things do happen.
Yeah. Who knows? Where did this take place?
Spokane, Washington.
Okay. All right. Is that where you're from?
Washington. Kind of. My family moved there when I was 12. So I was there for middle school and high school. And then I moved away.
And you were an atheist at the time. So you didn't grow up religious or anything?
I wasn't an atheist at the time. I wasn't religious.
All right.
So, at the time, did you believe after it happened? Were you like, oh my God, ghosts are real?
Yes.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
And then you just talked yourself out of it.
No, I'm fascinated because I've known this guy a while, and he seems like the type that would believe in ghosts.
Oh, that's... I don't know if that's a compliment coming from Abed. I don't know how you should take that. Let's go to question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No. As much as I'd love to, no.
Yeah, it would be fun. Question number four. Do you believe in psychics?
Kind of, sort of.
Really?
Yeah, because although the universe is not magical, but I do believe that people can be attuned to certain energy that might provide like very strong intuition with the odds, like an internal odds, being like, yeah, they're most likely right. It's largely a guess, but they have enough information to make an educated guess, I would say.
That's kind
of... What about like telekinesis? Do you believe that anybody could levitate objects with their minds?
No.
Wouldn't that be cool though?
That would be cool. I think
it'd kind of be as cool as Bigfoot. That's how we'd fight Bigfoot, I think.
Probably. Like, I think remote viewing, I think there might be something to remote viewing, but probably not. But I really hope there was.
So wait, okay. But that's interesting. So have you done like hallucinogens or anything like that?
No, but I have done psychic readings, and I had a past life regression session.
What were you?
I have like my absolute favorite one is like I was a old hunter, like in the steppes of, you know, Asia, and I was coming home from a very long journey, and I was walking to my village, and I could see my village, but I suddenly became very tired, and I sat down by a tree, and I realized that I was dying, like I was having a heart attack. And I laughed because it was funny because I was almost home, and then I died before I got there. And that's my favorite. That's my favorite one. I was like, that's amazing. And that sounds like me.
But did they tell you, have you done this multiple times, or do they tell
only
you
one
of them?
There were three. I remember the one of the other ones. I don't remember the third, but the second one is I was a like, not like a pope, but I was like a cardinal. I was high up in the Catholic Church during like Middle Ages.
The evilest time.
But I was I was not a great person, but not totally evil. But I definitely enjoyed the wealth and privilege.
Okay. Last
I don't
question.
Remember the third one. Somewhere I have a cassette tape of it because it recorded it, but I don't know where it is.
Oh, that's fun.
Do you believe like in past lives?
Not entirely. It's fun to think, like, same as Bigfoot. Like, it'd be fun if that was real. But, you know, like, even with the idea that we are crude matter that returns to the Earth and stardust and all that stuff, and then it's entirely possible that we could be, parts of us could be rebirthed as a living human. I don't really believe that, like, our souls come back. But it'd be fun.
Okay.
It would be fun.
Question number five, are you superstitious?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I do believe in signs, so I guess that is a form of superstition.
Like, what's the last sign that you took heed?
It ended up not panning out, which is funny. Like, I was taking a trip somewhere, and I'd never been to this place before. I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to go, but then I saw, like, a random, like, meme going around about this location. And I was like, that's a sign. Like, randomly, like, might have to go to this place. And then suddenly this place I've never heard of before starts showing up in a meme that's making the rounds on social media. I was like, it's a sign.
Just for you, even though memes are notorious for touching everybody that they come across. All right, well, I think that makes you like a 1-0-1, you know. You're very much on the Wade side of things. Abed, what are you? You're like a 4?
I think I'm closer to Willie, like I'm a 3 or a 4.
Yeah.
Since I was graded you guys did me again, and then I went more towards Wade. Oh, so I think I'm in the middle.
Okay, so you guys are pretty close, we'll say. Yeah. Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the reality distortion field. Coined in reference to both Star Trek and Steve Jobs, but really referencing maybe this quantum field that surrounds us all that we might be able to tap into. Let's talk about the reality distortion field tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So, I mean, like, so...
I've never heard about this. I don't know anything about it. So give me a little Cliff Notes version of what the reality distortion field is.
Willie has the information, but I was reading something. I'm obsessed with Steve Jobs, by the way, and Apple in like 80s. I mean, the beginning of computers, like the revolution, whatever. And I found that term accidentally, and it applied to Steve Jobs, like somebody who he worked with came up with it.
Yeah, that's weird because if you look at the Wikipedia, it specifically says, oh, you know, it was first used by Bud Tribble at Apple Computer in 1981 to describe, I'm just reading Wikipedia, company co-founder Steve Jobs' charisma and its effects on the developers working on the Macintosh project. Tribble said the term came from Star Trek, where in the episode of The Menagerie, that's from season one of the original series, it was used to describe how the aliens created their own new world through mental force. At any rate...
Is that the one, Mike, where Spock goes, "The pain!"
No, it's the one where they reuse the footage from the original pilot.
Yeah, it's Pike. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so here's
the
thing.
Wait, what? Who's Pike? What does that mean?
Pike was the first captain before Kirk, and he's in the pilot. And then
did they have a Back to the Future? They had to recast him or something. He kind of sucked.
No, they didn't. The network, I think, passed on the original pilot.
Right.
And so Roddenberry retooled it.
And redid
new
the
captain,
same episode.
New kind of dynamics.
Yeah, with Shatner.
Yeah.
So it was pretty fun.
Interesting.
And so the original, when you watch the pilot, it's like not the real pilot.
No, it's not.
But it's available to watch, but it's not the... If you were starting to watch the original series, it'd be confusing. Because it doesn't
like
even say
it's like a failed pilot.
It.
It's yeah. like Conan O'Brien's, detective well. Show or whatever.
Look well.
Yeah.
I remember because that's like my favorite thing he's done.
but great.
So in the Star Trek episode, this is the one with the characters with the big brains. And they can make you see things that aren't there.
Right.
And they're trying to collect species to have them have sex with each other so that they can create a slave race. Interestingly enough, not the bad version of a slave race. But they basically pass on the humans because they're like, oh, you guys aren't going to enjoy this. Like, it should be enjoyable for you to because they're so smart.
You know what's weird is as a kid, I loved Star Trek, but I hadn't actually seen any of it. So I had like the toys and I used to imagine what it was like. And then I remember seeing it later and just being like, oh,
that's some heavy shit.
No, but I was like shocked because I was like, I did not know this was what I was like what I was into. I was just into like the suits and like the look of it and all the like the fact that Spock had pointy ears. I was like obsessed with Spock.
That's like the Italian Star Trek comics. I think it's the Italian ones where they had never seen this show and they didn't have any scripts. They had just been sent production photos.
Gosh, I need to get those.
So they
fun.
Based like. What they thought Star Trek. So Star Trek was very much, they had kind of been told it was like space Western. So again, they saw like the holsters that they had the phasers in. So it's very much like a swashbuckling sci-fi thing where they're kind of like cowboys more than, you know, explorers.
That's funny.
But no, Roddenberry.
Isn't it weird that pirates would have the big skull on their flag? Because you'd think like that would be, you wouldn't go near those pirates, you know, because they're like saying like, hey, we're pirates. It feels like you would avoid them.
You're making the chase hard.
He's right. A better pirate move would to be like a flag that looks welcoming so that everyone shows up to the party and they're like, oh, we want to hang out with the pirates. And then you catch them off guard, you know.
I want to say this, the punishment was more severe if they were flying a false flag. So they wanted their own. Yeah. Because they'd be killed anyways, but it would be like killed differently.
Yeah. Or football teams. It's like, we're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, motherfucker. And like, you have to hang with their logo. I mean,
well, so let's go back to,
I've been watching a lot of football documentaries.
You said Steve Jobs. So
yeah, yeah.
This is a sci-fi thing, but now we're applying it to like, because Steve Jobs sort of notoriously didn't really do anything, right? He just said to his engineers, hey, make a bunch of shit.
You know, Jobs, I could give him credit as a sort of, he described himself as like a conductor. You know, it was like he was conducting a symphony. So he's just waving a stick. You're right.
And so the weird thing is when you watch interviews with Steve Jobs, or if you watch interviews, people talking about him, and the reason why this term was coined about him is because he could get people to go beyond what they thought they were capable of. And that's why he was so successful in a lot of these businesses. And it's just like, he believed in everything so much. So in a sense, when I see this, it's like, oh, Steve Jobs is probably one of the first guys who believed in The Secret without it being called The Secret, where it's just like, hey, I believe this is going to work, and I can get you to believe it's going to work. And that actually has an effect on everybody.
The fascinating thing is that Walt Disney had the same exact effect, because everyone he worked for were good, but Disney's like, I can't accept any less than perfection. So even though,
but not in a tyrant way, it was like a creative.
No, he was a little bit of a tyrant, yeah. Because the artists would say praise from Walt Disney meant more than like money, more than fame. Like
it's like a kind of cult leader sort of thing, yes. Right? Like you just want to impress the fucking god,
but. The thing is that both people, Jobs and Disney, they were like legendary, like, you know, pioneers, because the fact that they just didn't settle. They didn't like.
Well, I want to make this timely, because there's this. Have you guys been following the Elizabeth Holmes? I think it's pronounced Theranos. Have you guys been following this at all?
Elizabeth, I don't know Holmes. What this is. What is this?
Is this the girl Elizabeth, that had the
Elizabeth Holmes like idolized Steve Jobs, and she conned like a bunch. She idolized him to the point where she started dressing like him. She lowered her voice. She's like, she talks like this because she wanted to sound like him or something. And and so she had this medical device that could like read your blood and tell you if you were going to get cancer or if you had diabetes or whatever. And it was like this like 1 second thing. And she got tons of money from
you could do
so
it
many
home
people.
Yourself. Yeah.
And it didn't exist. It never existed. And
she was
and
like
so
a con
she's,
artist.
She's a con artist, but how do you get that much money from people if you don't have this sort of like, I don't know what we call it. Do we call it a superpower, or like what did Steve Jobs and what's his name? Walter Disney. What's his fucking name?
Walton.
Walt Elias Disney.
do they actually have like some sort of weird, we touched on psychic ability and Michael sort of is into it. Like, is there a weird suggestion sort of power that some people have, or is it, just that they are bigger than life?
I watched charisma. A lot of footage of Walt Disney and Steve Jobs, and I'll say that like when you hear them talk, they are sort of larger than life, and they're almost like unworldly because they are so excited, and their excitement breeds a kind of hope.
But it's not just, I mean, but there's a lot of people that do that aren't successful. And so I think Wade's right in thinking that there might be people that can tap into that without knowing it, and maybe they drink their own Kool-Aid, but because they can tap into it, they can like affect you.
Well, both cases are, they both failed a lot. Now, if you look at both their careers, you'll see that there was moments of like where most people would give up. But I think the fact that they just kept going and they had more momentum kind of gave them credibility for other people to look at them and say, like, oh my gosh, like, there's like a steamroller. This person's not stopping, you know? And I don't know. Like,
so you don't think that it's a power at all. You just think that it's persistence.
It's a combination of persistence and also intellect in a way where you're like, I know that I'm going to be something. I know.
Do you think it's manipulation at all? Do you think that?
Not at all. Because those are personalities that are just so eccentric that they don't even think about the concept of manipulation. Isn't, I don't think, in their minds at the time. I think they're just so driven by what they're doing that they can't see anything else.
I think there's nothing unique about this, because I think throughout history and time, there are people who are seeing that. What's the difference between like Alexander the Great or Huey Long? Like, there's just people who are charismatic and attract people. No, I mean, Huey, the Kingfish, the Louisiana politician. What? Huey Long, right?
You mean Howie Long, the famous linebacker for the Raiders.
Yeah. I know who that is.
Abed's thinking football. I mean Huey Lois. Long, the Kingfish, the Louisiana populist who had...
I don't know. I mean, like, when it comes to me, I think to put anybody who, and I'm not saying Huey, who was the leader you said earlier, Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
David Koresh. Oh,
when you add people in that have either a royalty bloodline or some kind of ruling power, I think all bets are off, because people have to listen to them. And so people want to personify them to
people
be.
People had to listen to Jobs, version. Though, too. Right. Or they would lose their job.
Right. There's always a power dynamic. There's no one who's like mid-level who, like, people are like, that guy might only be a executive assistant, but boy,
an example of that. There's this guy right now who's like the president, and I'm going to fucking totally fuck this up. And if any listeners know what I'm talking about, then please correct me. But there's a football guy who was just like, he was an agent or a marketing guy or something like that. He got a job at this one football team and then just started taking over from the mid-level. And like the fucking, like, you know, whatever the GM or whatever, like, started just listening to this fucking guy.
Was it the Ravens?
I mean, this is current. I feel like it's God damn,
I'm really into these football docs, and I think I watched that one.
No, I don't think there's a doc on it yet. Well, hang on. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get further into this, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about like sort of a sphere of influence, right? But I want to hear Willie's sort of like sci-fi versions of it.
Yeah.
Willie Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills and the kills and the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife, it has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing? Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. We welcome back to the show. We were talking about... What were we talking about?
It's the Zoo Crew. Woo!
I feel like I should be that guy. Like, I'd be a good radio guy, but that's not, no one does radio, right? Like, it's
what gone. There's so much radio. Are you kidding?
I mean, yeah, radio has been on the radio.
It's never been more prevalent than right now.
I listen to the radio sometimes, and there's this guy who you can tell is like in his 60s trying to still be the fun guy. And he still talks trash the way like an older guy would, where it's like kind of lame.
Hey, we gotta do that. We gotta do something next. We gotta go.
Is that what he sounds like?
Yeah, yeah, I feel that guy fights for the pink team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "No, we're fucking like Gen Z, man. We don't know what you mean. Everyone likes pink."
You sound aggressive.
We'll be right. I always try to say
the book is called Orcs in Space. We're talking to Abed Gaith and Michael Tanner, the writers of Orcs in Space. Two of the writers. I don't know how many there are. There's probably numerous.
There's a lot.
Four of you.
There's a lot.
The other two will remain unnamed because they are not on the show. Go buy Orcs in Space at your struggling independent comic book shop.
Yeah.
Also, if you're lazy like me, you can just pre-order our trade, which comes out October 6th, and then you get the first four issues.
Where would we go to do that?
Anywhere you would order something. Amazon, Target.com, it's on Walmart.com. Oh my God.
So just wow, give your money to the billionaires.
Fuck, or go to Powell's Books. I'm sure they have it. You can order it from the fine city of Portland.
SimonandSchuster.com.
Oh, I wanted
Simon
to update
Simon and Simon.com. We're big
fans
of
this guy
that
I was talking about. Didn't you know that fucking one of those Simon brothers is like still acting? I saw it. He's just like still in something and he looks the exact same. Simon.
Yeah. What's
the mustache
guy? Yeah.
Yeah. He's still around.
Isn't he the dad in Neverending Story?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. He is. Because I remember
one of those guys that looked 50 when he was 20.
Yeah.
And so now he can just work forever.
And I was laughing because I was like, I think that's Major Dad.
I just keep picturing Dabney Coleman right away. Anyways, yeah.
But anyway, so Jack Easterby is the guy that I'm talking about, this NFL guy. He dismantled the Texans. The reason they traded DeAndre Hopkins is because of this guy, because he just didn't like DeAndre Hopkins. And he totally decimated the organization.
The Texans,
and he's just some fucking guy.
Didn't the Texans used to be the Houston Oilers?
That's a long and complicated the short answer.
That makes me so mad because I loved that logo on the Oilers helmet. It was a really cool, even though it symbolizes
good color scheme, good logo, good
color scheme. Yeah, and Warren Moon, best player. And so
Willie, let's talk about this, I forget what it's called already.
The reality distortion field is what they called it in Star Trek and also referring to Steve Jobs. But the one idea is, and listen, I love hearing, because, you know, I project what I think, and to hear all of you guys mostly say that, like, well, you know, they're just charismatic people, that there's this worker relationship, because I do believe in this idea that you can manifest things using the quantum field. And I think quantum field theory supports this idea that the thoughts that we have, the emotions that we have are measurable. The amount of energy is measurable. There's this thing called the Hertz vibration scale. And so like, your different emotions emit different levels of energy. And so one idea is that if you are feeling a certain way, like a radio dial, that's the part of the universe that you're tuning into. So like, you know, like if you're upset about something, you're going to tune into everyone else being upset and take all that in.
Well, actors have it. I mean, sorry.
Wait, yeah, sure. Willie, I want to hear more. I want to subscribe to your newsletter. Please keep.
Yeah, and so one idea is, if you have this, if you are, you know, enlightened is such a fucking.
Well, hang on, I because this is real. Like, this definitely is a thing, right? Yeah. I mean, like, we've all been in a situation where like you can feel energy. Yeah. And like, most recently, I had the best night of my life. We got free tickets to a show. There was like four of us. We were having a blast. We were just stopping at bars, drinking the whole time. And then we get back to the car and we had a parking ticket and it just like, sucked the fucking energy out of like all of us. Right. Even though like, well, that's neither here nor there. The whole point is it was like the best. And then that one thing, and you could feel the energy, right? We're driving home and we're not having fun anymore. So what you're saying is like, I think what I'm saying, I'm sorry for paraphrasing you, but like Steve Jobs or any of these guys could like tap into like some sort of like, if I am super energetic and super positive, then I can radiate that positivity. And then other people will like tune into that frequency.
And so here's the thing. I think that the highest level of vibrational energy in that realm lies in creativity. And so you can radiate that. And so here's the thing. A lot of us go through life reacting to things. Ah, fuck, I got a flat tire. What a bad day. Some people can get over that and be like, oh, it's another flat tire. You know, I've had too many. I can deal with it, whatever. But that we actually have the ability to not react to everything and only to act. And so the people that can just act on the creative energy, the enlightened energy, whatever, happy energy, that like, you know, I'm not saying happy Monday people. It goes beyond that where it's like these creative, happy people that are like taking charge of their.
Dude, but that's really funny though. Hang on, because you just touched on something like the happy Monday thing, like the Office Space joke of like the Hawaiian shirt Friday, where they're sort of trying to replicate that, like, oh, this field of like positive energy, but like
you're not at work.
If you're, but if you can see through it, then it just does the opposite, right? Like the people who are like, hey, it's Monday, let's be happy. If you can see through them doing that, then you're just like way more negative than you would have been before. Like, well, because now you've got this fucker.
I think that's a huge part of it is that energy manifestation is one thing. You can radiate all that energy out. That's true. Like you can do that, but it's a two-way street. Like someone must be set to receive. And if they're not open to receiving that energy, it's not going to work. And I think what the success comes from, like Disney or Jobs or Alexander the Great, is that they had people around them, and in a lot of cases, chose people around them who were set to receive.
I read the biography of Ward Kimball, and he created Jiminy Cricket, but he said something that Walt would bring you aboard and tell you. You were the best, and he hired you for that reason. And he made you believe that you were working at the place that you were most fit.
Right, but this is also...
Really quick. That's really what it's about. It's like, if you can radiate that energy, and then someone else takes the energy, and they bring their own like personality to it. Like, oh, I could be a part of this
but you're just talking about good managerial skills. Like mm-hmm. if you're directing a movie, you hire the best people around you so that you don't have to like worry about all that shit. And so, yeah, you tell them that like, no, that's your job, man. Like you're good at it. Go ahead and do it. And then that makes them happier. You know what I mean? So like, I think it's a matter of like these people, like going back to Office Space, like these people are drones. We don't give a fuck about them. So that shit doesn't work. Trying to make them wear, you know, Hawaiian shirts on Friday isn't going to work. But if they were hired and you're like, this is part of the team, we want you to do what you want to do. I feel like it's all about micromanagement, really.
Well, there's a difference, though, between like you're working for a company making paper clips and you're creating like this innovation that's going to change the world. You know what I mean? So
no, there's no difference. No,
there is a difference.
If I work at a paperclip company and I'm hiring the guy that runs the machine that like bends the paperclips, I'm gonna be like, dude, you're the fucking best one at this. Like we've got to have, you're so good at bending these paperclips. I broke all bet.
But I don't mean to laugh. I know you're choking on alcoholic eggnog,
but there is a reality of like the guy on some level knows he's just making paperclips.
Well, but, you know, if he thought he was above making paperclips, he wouldn't be there in the first place, you know?
I think that's not true. Like,
yeah, that's where I disagree, because
No, some people top out at working at a 7-Eleven.
Absolutely. I'd worked in a factory for one summer making jumbo mayonnaise jugs that you'd find at Costco. It was the worst mind-numbing experience of my life.
Because you knew you were better than that. Yes. But if you didn't, if you were just like, oh, this is a great job, I love it, you know, well, it's different.
Here's, I mean, perspective is one thing, because like I've had so many labor jobs, you know, and it's just like, the difference is this. If you can like connect to people and have great experiences with the people you work with, then it doesn't matter what your job is, because you're actually affecting people. Doesn't matter what your job is. You're making money, having a good time, and raising everybody's morale, you know? So like you can apply all the different things to everything. Like,
well, let me just say this real quick, because I feel like this applies. I had to go to the DMV twice. The first time I went, I didn't have the right documents, and the guy was a fucking dick, and I could tell the whole time he was a fucking dick. And he would not let me fucking get my real ID or whatever, because one of my documents was on my phone, and he just wouldn't even talk to me. It was just like bullshit. And then the second time I went, I had a nice guy, and it was just like so much better, because that guy actually wanted to help me or whatever. This other guy is just like sitting there trying to, he just wanted to tell everybody to fuck off. Also, side note, it's really funny. In this DMV, they have a bunch of signs that say it's a federal crime to like assault anyone in this office.
Which yeah, is like, yeah.
Like what? You've really cultivated a spirit in there by having to put up signs that you could go to jail if you assault any of these people. But that's DMV neither here nor there.
Jail.
Well, but so. I'm just saying that like,
well, Willie, I'm sorry. Really, yeah. Really quick to just onto your point. Like if you like your job at the DMV and you're nice and personable, then it doesn't suck. But if you suck, then your job sucks, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay. So like another thing that happens is, and this is just, I don't know what it's like for the rest of the world, but in America, like, we're kind of trained that you just need to get a job and like find your place in society. And so it's kind of weird to think that like there's a hierarchy of jobs, you know, because you can justify that a doctor's more important than a teacher, but a teacher could justify that they're more important than a janitor. But, you know, a janitor could justify that a cleanly place is going to not let people die. And so like the thing is forget about careers and jobs and that hierarchy. Like I think a lot of people connect more to people than the construct of having to have a job, you know? And so it's easy to get lost in a job when you are affecting people in a good way. Cause like, hey, this is fucking great. You know, like, and I'm not talking the Mondays, but I'm just saying that like, it's weird to be in a society where we've got different classes, jobs are associated with classes. And then when you have a human experience with someone, I'm going to say that's more of a spiritual experience than a human experience. And so I'm just bringing this up because I don't think every janitor out there is going like, well, you know, we got to keep the place clean. I'm not saying that they're stuck in their class or anything like that, but like there are definitely people that don't define their lives by their job or their, you know, like, and so
it's different because, I mean, you're working at Apple, that's a job, and you're in an office, but there's a huge
jobs in the beginning that they weren't affecting everybody.
But like, nobody knows on the outside what Apple was going to be. Like, Jobs had to be like convincing these people that computers were going to be the future. That's a whole different landscape. That's like 10 times the work as if he worked at a paper.
No, I know, but I'm only arguing. I'm only arguing with you, Abed, about this because you were kind of making the point that like everyone working at Apple knew that their job was important and they were, and like, no, it had nothing to do with knowing that they were going to succeed. They had no premonitions in that realm of like, yeah, we are going to change.
Let's move into the like the sci-fi aspect of this thing, because we could talk about like jobs and is it do you have like a more sort of like out there version of.
Well, yeah. So my thing is like.
Oh, he froze.
Willie froze.
Oh shit!
I think it's Willie's gonna say that it there's like a there is like this fundamental cosmic power in it. Meaning you can create the impossible.
Well, let's take bets. So Ava thinks it's going to be a cosmic power. Michael, what do you think Will is about to say?
I think he's about to say that it's like it is on a cosmic level. We're all kind of connected. And this is a way people kind of manifest an active connection with people on an energy level. That okay. seems doable.
I think he's going to say that there's an alien and the alien is in charge of mental wavelengths and Steve Jobs was an alien and Walt Disney was an alien and Alexander the Great was an alien. That's what I think.
You know, Steve Jobs was born on the same day as me.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Isn't that amazing?
Did you guys ever have a party together?
I think he's also Palestinian.
Jobs?
Yeah, because his dad, remember, his real dad was that Arab, Middle Eastern dude.
Like,
I don't know anything about Jobs, him.
Really.
Me neither.
I'm not an Apple sandals. Person. Like, I've never owned an Apple product.
Oh!
I don't give really? A shit about it. Yeah, I like...
So you hate Steve Jobs. You're like... That
I don't hate him. I nothing him.
Yeah, you have an apathy towards this thing, and so do I. The only reason I don't have an iPhone because they're too expensive. And when they started, it was a AT&T monopoly, and I wasn't on AT&T, or I was for a second. But like, it was just like I'm not gonna be held hostage by this. And now there's like, do you get a lot of green bubble flack from your friends?
No, I don't. Like, I barely understand that reference. Like, yeah.
See,
like,
I actually get a lot of green bubble flack.
It's because you have elitist friends, then, man.
Exactly. Apple is that's always what I tell them.
Elitist.
That's what I tell them.
Well, if this is not on the show, I'll just say, Wade.
Yeah,
I think you shouldn't listen to your friends.
Oh, I don't listen to them. The only time it happens infrequently, but like we played Phone Survivor and
it actually
became an issue because like iPhones are just like talking to each other
right
like super quickly and then you add an Android into that and then there's like delay, they have to like fucking do whatever with the SMS versus the MMS thing and so that's where I heard a lot of it. And every once in a while I'll be on a group chat and someone will say something. I just ignore it, but
I mean,
weird.
Look,
it's weird because I think brand loyalty is like gross.
It's the dumbest thing in the world.
It is the grossest thing. Like, yes, you're not getting anything from them. Like bootlicker. Like that's how I feel. Like Jesus,
dude. I was on a Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report is like a sports website, and like in the comments, someone was like. They were talking about these Nike shoes and they were like, these look like trash. And there was just this one guy in there going like, yeah, well, Nike made like $1 billion. And it's just like, okay, so what? You love your daddy Nike? Like what are you getting out of like being a fan of a brand? It makes no sense. I remember like 15 years ago when people would put the swoosh on their like back windshield. It's just like, what are you doing?
What is that? Johnny Five had it, remember?
He had a swoosh. Nerds.
Yeah, that God, you don't remember in Short Circuit 2 when he's like, check out these new features, and he had a Nike swoosh on his on the side.
Well, that's product placement. I can get behind that.
That's a
you
good.
You gotta make your movie.
I love
influenced
Nike.
By media. Of course, he's
I would
put
apply
a
that. Like Apple is something that I enjoy its products, but I also think that I don't think about I hate this thing so much. I'm not going to get it. Like. I have Nike clothes and I don't really subscribe to Nike. It's just there's things about it that like somehow come into my life. But I don't like on the other side of like I don't like these people that are trying to make you feel guilty because who cares? It's like it doesn't change anything if you like him or not. It's or Apple.
Yeah, no, I mean, Michael hit it on the head where it's like brand loyalty is the dumbest because it's capitalism. You're voting for a new capitalist.
Also,
yeah,
I don't trust
and I also
grown
don't
men
like the
tuck
people,
in their shirts.
Hey, what's going on?
I don't like the people that are like, oh, he's talking to Willie.
Sorry, man. I don't know what happened. I don't. My internet is done. Right.
So let's get back to, you were just about to launch into some sort of more sci-fi stuff when you froze.
So I think that we all have the capability of emitting, this is going with quantum field theory, and that like we can affect the universe with our emotions, manifesting the secret, all of these things. We just don't know how to do it. And so it's like, it's not just like being happy and like being like, oh, I want money. One idea is that, you know, like when it comes to the brain, for example, if you plan out how you're going to behave one day, because I know a lot of, I know myself, I can't speak for everyone, but like I wake up, I'll jump on my phone. I got to run my errands in that. Like I got to do my Clash of Clans. I got to run and do my fucking stupid games. Then I start looking through stuff and all of a sudden, like I'm in a mental state of sure, I'm running errands, but my presence online or whatever actually has effect on my individual person. But it's just like this suck is like draining us from not connecting to ourselves. And I know it's easy to say that we've seen technology come, but like we have the ability to, using our emotions and that radio dial we can tune into, affect other people and then like have other people affect us too. And so maybe there's this lost, I don't want to say art, but this idea of like the connectivity of a species is being lost because we have drowned out into our own individuals, not, you know, just kind of an accident of technology taking hold of controlling our day.
First of all, can you turn your video off? Because it's choppy and we don't need it. And it's, I think it's fucking your audio up. Yeah. But I think like, fuck. No, it's fine. We can hear you for the most part. I don't know that, like, so first of all, Willie, you are one of them. There are times when I've gotten in the car with you and known like, oh, you're in a very bad mood without like even saying anything. So I think this is a current thing. I think like the positive one is harder to do than the negative one.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's easy to come up with this. I mean, you know, on this little Hertz diagram, it's like, you know, it's easy to classify like, oh, anger is lower, but like it's less Hertz. And so it actually, the vibrational energy actually is lower.
I think because humans are, our general makeup is primal. We're prone to anger. It's like our basest emotion.
But do you guys ever like
electrical beings?
Are you guys ever in a bad mood and then you're like, I don't want to be in a bad mood. I'm going to this fucking event or whatever. And you just kind of like psych yourself up into being in a better mood.
Of course.
And then like the entire thing is better, right? Because like, I think people are feeding off that energy. I think this is like a constant. Yeah.
I mean, look, I am a person who I've had people tell me that I light a room up, that when I enter the room, they feel like the party's starting. And like, No. Yeah. I don't ever.
Congratulations, man.
People tell me I'm really wonderful and I'm just
like, no. I mean, people just say how much they like me all the time.
I'm trying to explain that it's not something I can control. I'm not aware of that. I just sort of just go at my own pace.
But you've touched on something, because like if I'm hiring a bunch of people, I think that's why they have meetings. Even if you're qualified and stuff, like you have meetings, you have an interview with them because like you want to get their vibe. Like it's not about answering the right questions. It's about like, do I want to be around this person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I would get less qualified people that make me feel happier, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm the champion of what you just said, because I have all the charisma and like my skills are way less than most of my friends. But it's like at the same time, there's something in the air, and it's a sort of like, you know, like Willie was saying, it's like it's not you can't control it. It's just in the air, and it's like you tap into it. Everyone can sense it.
But that's the thing. So is there a way to tap into it? Or is tapping into it just exuding it, you know?
No, I think it's in the air.
Well, because people, you can turn it on. Like, people talk about it, like, oh, you got to turn it on.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what you were saying earlier, like kind of psyching yourself up.
Yeah.
So it is something that's something it's largely, it's not a choice, but it is a, God, what's the word I'm looking for? It is, it's a mental state. Like it's a mental issue. It's like you're dealing with some shit. You got to, you know, compartmentalize that and psych yourself up and turn it on.
And so one idea is that nobody knows that they can turn it on. And so up until now, people have just accidentally done it. You've had people be very charismatic on accident, but like knowing now that this is real and that your energy actually does affect people and that you can turn it on and you can avoid. Sure. The idea is if you ever are upset about something, like if you acknowledge why you're upset about it, it actually can raise your vibrational energy back up because you've dealt with it. You didn't push it off. And so,
yeah, no, like Willie, I totally agree with everything you're saying. And I guess my question is, this is scientific, right? There's got to be a reason behind this, you know, like talking to your plants or something, you know, like there's got to be like some sort of explanation.
I mean, if you, that's what's crazy. This is why I love quantum mechanics now, because quantum field theory, all these things, like it's like they're quantifying charisma, you know, that like.
I feel like he's using that quantum word like the Smurfs. It's like quantuming everything.
I'm gonna quantum like you.
The quantum theory of the quantumening is you what I'm really quantuming to you guys. I can't even say it.
That's hilarious. And you're right. What if from now on, you know that now you don't have to be in a good mood all the time, but actually, the emotion that you're experiencing, sure, it affects other people, but also makes you tune in to other people that are also experiencing the same thing. And so we've all seen it. We're all creative people. You can get into a creative room and it makes everything better. And it's like, it builds upon itself.
You know, we're all tuned in that in like freaking spades is like Martin Olsen. Cause when I hang out with him, the weird thing is how much we radiate off each other. It's like, he's just charged up by me. And I'm charged up by him. And it's like I've never had that effect on anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I feel like that's why people do coke, right? Together.
He's like my version of coke in a person.
Yeah,
he's
are like two cokeheads just like in a bathroom going like, wow, what about this?
Well, honestly, like no one's ever laughed harder at anything I say than him. And I'm not even trying to be funny and he's laughing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't this person be like, and his essence be in everyone I know?
Well, that's the thing. That's why Martin Olsen is who he is. Like, people gravitate toward him because he gives them that, you know?
But also, that's the whole trick, is that you surround yourself with the people that only put you in that state. And so that's what Jobs was doing. That's what a lot of these people do. It's like, they don't know or they did it on purpose, but it's like, hey, this guy makes me feel good. He's my general.
I mean that's kind of what I was saying earlier, that like they're kind of unaware of it because they're tapped into that moment and that zone. Have you guys read The Power of Now?
I think I have.
It's like a book that talks about like the ever now, that you have to be present. And it's like, I can't recommend that book enough, because you really do have to think about like all that's important.
It's a Buddhism thing. Like, only moment that exists is right now, and so make it count.
Yeah, but the thing is like, I'm kind of obsessed with the fact that time isn't real, that it's just like something we invented, and that's kind of what that book is saying. Like,
our perception of time like limits us in experiencing time.
Because when you start to dwell on the past or have anxiety towards the future, you're missing what is happening in front of you, and that is the most important thing. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but
but that's the human condition, though. Like, we wouldn't have these problems if we could do that. I don't think that time is a construct. I think that, like, we all, why does the squirrel save nuts for the winter? Like, you can't pretend that time doesn't exist. Like,
yeah,
it does. And so having anxiety for a few
days, we know time moves.
If you think
forward.
About it,
right.
We're all reliving the same day over and over.
Well, check this out. What if I've thought about this a lot, where it's like, if you picture our dreams and you picture hallucinations and you picture how great your mind is at experiencing something that you're making in your head. Like, what if living forever was just going into your head and, like, not coming out?
Yeah, like totally. Totally. Because it's like you let's say none of us slept for the next week, we would definitely be, reality would be so thin for all of us that we would kind of like all like write best-selling novels, you know, like answers would come, because when you sleep, you forget so much and you put so much like to bed that like,
this is definitely a new Abed theory. if that's the case, why don't you just not sleep?
I mean, I have trouble sleeping, but that's besides the point. I just know that whenever I've stayed up late and I haven't slept, like for some reason, I'm able to really figure shit out.
Well, I've figured a lot of shit out by sleeping, though. Subconscious will figure out a problem that I have.
Yeah. Sleep on it. And, you know, deep sleep also is good for your mental health and physical health. Helps clear out that brain plaque. So you're less likely to get Alzheimer's. So get sleep, everybody. Get good sleep.
Yeah, don't do this Abed thing where you become a genius if you don't sleep.
The best-selling novel is not worth it. Go to sleep.
But what about Da Vinci and George Harrison? Remember? They got like 3 hours of sleep a night.
I think that is a kind of weird fetishization of overworking yourself. Like we don't know how fucking long Da Vinci slept. Like that. We got some journals that maybe he kept.
Well, I think there was a guy that was alive until like 1830, and he was
whatever,
like,
oh, man.
Da Vinci let me tell you.
Also, Da Vinci designed a bunch of shit that didn't work. People forget. Great artist, wonderful imagination, designed a lot of shit that doesn't work.
Well, but and also, fair
people
enough.
Have different
but don't
cycles,
you have to get
so.
Through like 20 inventions for the first one to hit?
Not when you're living in the 1800s and nothing exists yet. Or, oh, what, saying, 1600s? Like, when was Da Vinci?
Like, the Wright brothers made,
ago.
Like, 20 planes that didn't work, and then they finally figured it out.
Yeah, because the plane did. They figured out the plane. So did Da Vinci, like, fucking 400 years before that.
Oh, right. I guess the Wright brothers were, they were copycats.
All I'm saying is, different strokes for different folks. Like, if you need to sleep for 20 hours a day, go ahead, man. Like, don't let society tell you that, like, oh, you got to wake up at 8 and you got to go to bed at 10, because that's bullshit.
Well, that person must be having sex for 4 hours and then go to sleep.
Hey, everyone. Sorry, we're having some weird technical difficulties. We're back. Let's wrap this episode up. Willie, what are we talking about again? I keep forgetting the term.
Well, yeah, I mean, it started out with reality distortion field, but we are talking about quantum field theory, the idea that so I don't know. I mean, like.
Well, no. So let's just like get everyone's final thoughts. I mean, we've been through it. We've run that gamut. Mostly, I think we're on the side of be more positive, but Abed, why don't you lead us off? What do you think about this whole thing?
I mean, I'm my biggest like inspirations these days are Walt Disney and Steve Jobs, in the sense that they kind of like changed the game, and they didn't follow any kind of like rules or, you know, what was popular at the time or what everyone told them. And I've grown up where everyone told me I was wrong. So I think of them as heroes.
So you're doing TikToks now?
Me? No.
I'm kidding. I'm laughing at what the rules are so defined now that like.
No, I'm just saying that like there's sort of like a fascination I have with it, but I also think that like it's just not in their grasp. It's something out of their control. Anyway, that's it.
Michael, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think I'm on the wavelength of it's like energy, like putting out energy into the universe. And this is we've kind of come up with other terms to kind of describe aspects of it. Like, what is charisma? Like, really, when you get down to it, what is charisma? We know it's not just physical attractiveness. It's not just these very distinct things. It's a weird kind of, you either have it or you don't, right? And people have more of it or less of it. And I think there's nothing necessarily like novel about like Steve Jobs in particular or Walt Disney. It's because I think there's a long line through history of people who have exhibited this because energy isn't a modern construct. It's always existed, and how people manifest it and how people receive it. Is handled differently. So I'm on board with it being at least people attuning their energies together in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I'm such a skeptic on this show. I don't believe in the like aliens and all that shit. But this I do believe in. Like I do believe in like the power of positive thinking and like this sort of metaphysical, like put it out there, you know? And so when it comes to like Steve Jobs and shit like that, I think like right time, right place, sort of like right environment for that stuff. And maybe they were put that, because here's the thing, I'm a fucking dick, but people like me for some reason. And I this is, I guess, a humble brag. There's got to be like some kind of charisma or energy to me, because otherwise I have no explanation. Huh?
Stewart saves his family.
What? Daily affirmations.
You're good enough. Reminded me of Stewart from that SNL sketch, because he says like, people like me.
But yeah, I'm just, well, but I don't have to tell myself that. I tell myself they don't like me and they still do. So I don't know. This is definitely a weird, I'm surprised there's not more studies on this, because it's right. It's
right.
It's happening. We all see it every day.
I know it is all a part of social media. That's like, social media is like built on this.
Well, yeah. But it's like the exploitive version of it. And it's like, well, because I don't know. I mean, like, okay, in this realm, real quick, I'll just ask all of you, do you think if there is something to this charisma, this quantum field, do you think that transcends the internet to where like looking at the image of someone is just like being in the room with them?
No.
I mean, me neither. That's why I kind of laughed. Yeah. I said it.
No, but I was going to say to Abed, like, that's the opposite of what we're talking about. Like, I think social media is a detriment to this. Like, you could look at my social media and probably hate me, but if you hung out with me for a little bit, you would like me.
No, but I was saying earlier that social media, like, kind of took what we're saying and
monopolized it. Tried to.
Yes. Repeat they diluted it to its fucking bullshit.
It made it a math equation.
Right. Where it is not anything like that. It is completely opposite.
So I think that some people may have tapped into it without knowing it, but now that we're kind of defining it, it's like, it's kind of on us to like take advantage of it. And we have this opportunity to be creative with other creatives. And so like, I think that like in this realm of doing something for yourself, I think that when you exercise, when you laugh and when you meditate, you can raise yourself a little higher than you want to be without actually doing anything different. Like trying to, of course, yeah, just focus on the positive. That's one thing too. But like physically, you have to be a body that's ready to receive other people's intentions too. So we've got to take care of ourselves, our body.
And I don't know about the physical thing. I agree with everything other than the exercise thing. I've never gotten anything out of exercise.
I'm surprised we didn't talk more about meditation, because I think meditation actually is like a big part of kind of centering your energy and like in manifesting your energy out into the world.
Meditation is the equivalent of wearing a Hawaiian shirt on Friday. It's like, but it actually works, where it's like, yeah. You change the state of your brain without having
meditation to. Meditation is the exercise of the mind.
Yeah. Well, what's the AA thing? It works if you work it. Like you've got to come into it at the right time. Like that Hawaiian shirt thing is not a bad idea, but like you've got to buy into it.
And also I'm going to say the Hawaiian shirt thing is just like most religions, where like they capitalize on you feeling good, but the reason they've taken the power away from you because all that spirituality is in yourself. And you
you opened up a can of worms. Those people have been brainwashed. Like that's not even the same.
You guys don't even know, man.
But I'm saying though, when you pray for somebody or something, like you're putting your energy
into
that.
That's power of positive thinking. But like you're talking about organized religion. We can't even go down that road. The book is called Orcs in Space. Find it at your comic shop. Go get it. We're talking to Abed Gaith and Michael Tanner. Do you guys want to shout out your socials, or do you have any other plugs outside of Orcs in Space?
Mike, you can go first.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm starting to plug this more as I do a character on a Fallout 76 narrative podcast called Far From Heaven. And it's starting to get some traction, in the Fallout fandom and sort of outside of that too. So I'm like, yeah, I do a character on that. Go listen to Far From Heaven. It's a pretty good show. And then my socials are on Twitter. I'm Mike is Ernie at Twitter. You know how Twitter works. And my website is bymichaeltanner.com. bymichaeltanner.com, where you can visit my web store, where you can buy Michael Tanner. Nice. Comic books.
Nice. That's smart.
Yeah, you have been doing junkets.
Abed? Sorry.
Go on.
Oh, shit. No, wait, I mean, Abed, can I interrupt real quick?
What'd you say?
All right, back to Michael.
Sorry, because I forgot my podcast that I host, Burn After Pitching. It's a comedy pitching podcast. Check that out, Burn After
you
Pitching.
You do that? Oh, crazy. I didn't put it together. Awesome.
I figured Willie would be a guest at some point.
Sure.
Can I be a guest? Is that where you pitch something and then you get notes?
Yeah. You get a topic for the episode and you bring it in. Like we just recorded a What If episode, not necessarily specific to What If the Marvel thing. It was just any What If. So someone pitched like, what if George Lucas got the rights to John Carter of Mars in 1970s instead of making Star Wars, he made John Carter. So you just kind of pitch your ideas on the episode topic.
I love that. That's like a game.
Yeah, we're down.
I was on it once, and I think.
Oh, congrats, Abed!
You've been on it twice, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe twice. Well, one time was at a convention.
Abed, we did it. Do your plugs. We don't care about how many times you've been on this podcast.
All right. Well, so Abed G at like Instagram and Twitter, and I sometimes guest host on Schraub Home Video for Cali. And when I do, I have very exciting guests, and I might get Nirvana the band. Might.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. Well, it's like I've been trying to get them every single time.
All three of them?
No, just the Matt and Jay.
Nirvana the band, the Canadians, they seem very gettable. I don't know why you're having a hard time.
Me and Matt are like really tight, but he's always busy whenever I ask him. But anyway... There's that, and then just Orcs in Space, but, you know, I'm doing a lot of stuff, but just I can't talk about a lot of it. That's it.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening. Willie, do you have any new plugs, or do you just want to do Willie Bad Movies?
Nah.
Go to Willie Bad Movies on Instagram, and hey, thanks for listening. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. I forgot to say that at the top of the show. We've got a Discord. We've got a bunch of shit. Two bonus episodes a week for a dollar a month. And remember that just because you're paranoid doesn't mean They're not after you. Thanks for listening.